Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m., what did I say, 4 a.m.? Can't tell time on the East Coast. World-famous Phil Henry Show coming up. We've got Steve Bozell to talk about this weekend's lack of football, but we'll also get into some of the interesting games this weekend that we do want to talk about and why we did not have our game of the week. That's very important. And some other items on the agenda. We do want to remind you we have the Bobby Dooley podcast, the daily Bobby Dooley podcast that starts tomorrow. So we'll have Bobby on to give us a little preview of that, and so many other things that I can't quite I just can't count the marvelousness of what is occurring. We're on the air for the we're not on the air for the first time. We're back on the air in Columbia, South Carolina. Happy to be there, WQXL in Columbia. And we have been off the air there for so long, it's just great to be back with our friends there in South Carolina. So, and we'll be rolling out more stations, more marvelous contact with you guys as these days, weeks, months, and years progress, as we, resurge and begin our inexorable march toward world domination. Okay, all right.
So that's out of the way.
That's out of the way. Now what, bud?
We got a guy named Pete, and he wanted to say a couple things on there.
Okay, Pete is in Sussex, Oklahoma. Pete, good to talk to you. What's up?
Well, Phil, first of all, I want to say I'm very proud to be on your program. I enjoy listening to you and here in Sussex, Oklahoma, and we haven't quite had anything like you on the air here, but I'm really happy to be on the air with you here, and thank you for being in our neck of the woods here.
You're welcome. Happy to be there.
Now, my other question is, or my other comment, rather, is that I think President Obama's doing the right thing. I've been an advocate of his for a long time. I voted for the president. I live in a very conservative area. This is a Republican area, and Oklahoma's pretty conservative anyway. But I support President Obama, and I will tell you that it's a very difficult thing to do when you live in an area that is so anti-Obama as this one is. We've got a lot of Tea Party people here and so forth, you know.
Well, I know how it can be, and sometimes you feel all alone, huh?
Yeah, sometimes you feel like you're the only one, that's for sure. We had an encounter, though, and I wanted to tell you what we're up against, those of us that support the president, because we had an encounter here at a restaurant in Sussex called Tonio's. It's an Italian restaurant. It's a place that many of us frequent and enjoy, and I've been going there for a number of years. I own a machine shop here, and I also own some real estate.
Were you born and raised there?
I'm from originally Tulsa, Oklahoma, and moved here when we relocated our business here. But I had been listening to this group of people who are in the restaurant talking about Obama this and Obama that, and how they didn't like this and they didn't like that about him. And I said to them, I said, I'm sick and tired of hearing this. He's the president, and he passed a law, and just like you folks have been saying, you know, there comes a time when you just better, suck it up.
Yeah, there comes a time to say, okay, it's the law, so. You know, as Republicans themselves, the cooler heads have been saying, let's concentrate on the debt ceiling. Let's concentrate on the elections. Let's get more of our people elected. That's what you got to do, you know.
Yeah, well, that's how I figure it. If you want to have things change, then you've got to get the votes.
Exactly, you've got to have the votes.
Right. So, and that's what I said to these people.
Now, who are these people? Who are you talking about?
These are just other business people and residents of the community here that I've known all of my life, and I know these guys. They're all business people, and a couple of ladies who have one of them owns the hair salon here. And
so they're all small merchants.
Excuse me.
They're all like small merchants in the town.
Yeah, they're all small business people, and we meet at this restaurant. Now, about 2 weeks ago, I was listening to them as they were talking about Obama, and I really got upset because I had said for about 3 days before that, I said, when are you going to stop? When are you going to just accept what's going on and help our country move forward instead of talking about socialism, communism, this nonsense. And I said, you've got to stop it. And I told him that I was getting angry, and I had ordered a bowl of meatballs and a bowl of spaghetti, I guess. I say I guess because, you know, you mix it together. And but the point of my story is I had this bowl of meatballs and sauce, and I picked it up. And I feel bad about what I did, but...
Now,
he told me the story off the air. It's pretty interesting of the things that happened.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, were you checking out my story with the man that answered the phone?
I wanted to know if Bud had heard this, if it had been screened. I hope there's nothing, you know, obscene.
No, sir. No, not at all. I picked up, but I was angry, and I picked up this bowl of meatballs that I had ordered separate. I guess you call it, I don't know, it's al dente or how they...
Well, it would be al dente if it is, I don't know if it's al dente if it's vegetables. Unless it's vegetables or something, or the vegetables are blanched, they're not fully steamed.
Okay, yeah, that's al dente. Well, blanched, I know what blanched is.
Okay, that's fine. Can we just...
I'm sorry, Mr. Andre. I was thinking about I'd ordered al dente a couple of times in that restaurant before, and they generally had charged me less, I guess. But in any event, I took this bowl of meatballs, and I said to Jim Lavelle, who is a good friend of mine but a very conservative man, and I said, I told you, Jim, I don't want to keep hearing this. I picked up this bowl of meatballs, and I threw it... into the kitchen.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Did it hit anyone?
Well, what happened was I threw the meatballs through the entry where you placed the orders, and it did hit a good man by the name of Gary Hinchelow, who was a chef there. And I felt so bad. I went back. I said, I'm sorry. I threw this plate, and it hit Gary, and he was sitting there. And I said, are you all right? He said, I'm fine. And I recognized him because I had been at a veteran's benefit, and Gary is a Gulf War veteran, and he's disabled. And I said, I recognize you from the veteran's benefit that I was at here not too long ago. I said, yes, sir, that's me. And Gary is a helicopter pilot in the Army in the Gulf War.
Okay.
And so I said, look, you know, let's talk. And it turns out that Gary is illiterate. Not illiterate, I shouldn't say that, but he has a difficult time reading what you call dyslexia.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm working with him on that. So I wanted to say, basically, that as much as I hated the Tea Party and the fact that they don't give Obama credit, they made me so angry I threw a bowl of meatballs at a man and got to know him. And I think that in life, you know, we have to recognize that we make enemies as well as friends in the most unlikely of places. And that's my lesson, I think, that I've learned. And, you know, I wanted to share that. I think that...
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. I mean, so when he got hit with this plate, was he angry?
Oh, he was very angry. He called me every name in the book multiple times, an MF and an F, and he wanted to do some damage, but I got to talking to him, and now we're going to, I'm going to help him with his dyslexia, help him with his reading, and take him out bowling and places, you know, just drive him around, take him to parks. Excuse me. And
well, is he so disabled that he can't?
No, he's fine. In fact, he's married.
Well, what are you going to take him to parks for?
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Why are you taking him to parks?
Well, I just feel that it's something nice to do for a veteran. Take him to a park and let him—I don't know—you get a bag of nuts and you can feed. You know, they have squirrels and this kind of thing.
All right. Well, listen, that's very nice. Sir, it's Steve?
No, my name is Richard.
I'm sorry, sir. Richard, thank you very much for your call.
All right, well, y'all have a good night.
You have a good night too, sir.
I don't understand, Bud.
What?
Well, what is that about, man?
What?
The guy's a disabled veteran. Although he's married and has kids, he goes and takes him to a park where he can feed squirrels.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
What do you mean, that's what you're supposed to do?
With a disabled veteran?
Well, just because a guy's disabled doesn't mean you take him to a park and give him a bag of nuts to feed to squirrels. Maybe the guy, he's got a wife and kids. I'm sure his time is taken up with them. He's got a job. What exactly is this guy doing for him?
I thought it was a nice thing that a guy was going to do and everything like that.
What nice thing? I don't understand. Okay, fine, not a problem. Let's take a break. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Wow. Let's get Steve Bozell ready, bud, and let's talk football, okay?
I don't know what I did.
I don't know what you've done either. 855-500-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. What?
Well, I just don't know whether you have put on some weight.
Yeah, Mr. Hendry.
Okay, so I've put on some weight. I know I've put on some weight. I haven't put on all the weight, you know.
Well, I noticed that your face is fatter. There's the fat.
Yeah, a lot of the fat. No.
My face is fatter, huh?
Well, there's...
But I'll do it. Not you. I'll do it. When you'd lost all the weight, I noticed that you had... The jowls were gone, and there was this stretched neck look. But now you,
Uh-huh.
Oh, Phil, grow up.
Well, just talk about how your face looks fat.
Thank you. My face looks fat. I don't think it's that fat.
No, it isn't that fat. But I just noticed that it has fattened out.
A lot of times, you gotta understand, Mr. Henry, when a person... The face will fatten up pretty good. See, my dad, well, he lost his weight. His face stayed fat.
What do you mean his face stayed fat?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
What do you mean his face stayed fat?
Face stayed fat. He lost a lot of weight, but the face was still fatter than anything.
Yeah, that will happen, depending upon the diet. So that the head, the face is this large fat face, but the rest of you is good looking. It's svelte. You're ripped, as you guys like to say.
But you've got a fat face.
Yeah, more like the head and the face. Everything's too fat.
And there is you have a problem there because there is a bit of the perspective, you know.
No, I don't know.
Phil, you know something? You sit there and you, I don't know, really? What? Really? You ask these questions.
I don't know what you're talking about. A guy loses all this weight, but he's got a fat face.
Because the face stays fat.
It happens in 1 out of 10 men.
That a guy loses all his weight, he's ripped, he's got a great body, he's got pecs, he's got a six-pack, but he's got a fat face.
Yes, and it's too big for the neck.
Yeah. So they gotta suck fat out of your head, or not out of the head, but they'll do a lot of, you know, liposuction off the face.
Get out of here, liposuction off the face. You telling me I gotta have that done?
I don't know. If I were you, I would simply watch it.
I got news for you. No, I don't. Okay? No, I don't. I can tell. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I put on... I was down to 210 pounds last Halloween. Now, my fat... Excuse me. As fat as I got, I was at 306 pounds a few summers ago, but I was at 290 when I began the diet a year and a half ago. I got all the way down to 210. Now I'm back up to, you know, God forgive me, up to 235, okay?
Yeah, you're more than that.
What do you mean I'm more than that?
You gotta be, because the fatness.
Yeah, the fatness of your face.
You know something? You guys are something else. Wow, you can tell a guy's weight by looking at how fat his face is. Is that it? What about the rest of me?
Well.
Not too good, huh?
No, I'm not saying that, Phil. It's much, much skinnier. But you do need to.
No kidding, I need to. I know exactly what I gotta do, too. Don't worry about it, man. You know, I mean, I enjoyed the summer, and the summer's over, and that's all there is to it. But, look, I mean, I'm doing the best I can here with what I got. I'm doing the best I can with what the good Lord gave me. All right, on the line with us here from Corona, California, is Stephen Bozell, and he's joining us, you know, a day after. I know you guys tried to get on the air yesterday, Steve. I apologize. What exactly were the issues?
Bud was, you know, you're, Bud, you know about it, right?
Yeah, the internet didn't work.
The internet didn't work. We know all about how we was not able to get online. We could not get Phil TV up online. Okay, hold on for a minute, because Jerry Dunhill told me that they are spraying water.
Hold on for just a minute. You got another fire?
We have a fire up in Gorgo Canyon.
That sounds like the bus that Dr. Ron Tarner wasn't able to catch.
You're not in Denver, are you?
In Denver? What is...
Because that sound behind you sounds exactly like the transit train that Dr. Tarner wasn't able to catch in Denver.
No, this is a plane that's dropping water over in Gorgo Canyon. Okay, here it goes again. Now, one of the things... Yeah, do it, baby. All right. I'm giving a high five to all the guys that are fighting fires here in California. We've had a very couple of fires this season, you know, and I'm just wishing them luck.
Do you have a bad fire up there right now?
No, we don't. It's not bad. We've got one up here behind Gorgo Canyon, near the Godzilla. We call it the Godzilla because it's one of the big waterfalls we have, Phil, near Azusa Canyon. And where I live, you can see the Godzilla from where I live, and it's just a nice place to recreate, and we certainly do hope that the fire doesn't reach that area, but I don't think it will. I think...
So it's safe? They've got it contained?
I do believe they have it contained, but Jerry Hiller and a couple of the guys from the Corona Fire, you know, L.A. County Fire out here in Corona, are flying that water in. They are using our pond, as I usually let them use the pond area.
You're letting them use the pond again, huh?
Yeah, there goes good. Yeah, all right. Do it, man. Do it. Yeah. And they're going over to Gorgo Canyon. They're going up near the Godzilla and the reef, so we ought to be all right.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad to know. I know you had an issue with these guys the last time we had you on the air, I think.
No, that was a couple months ago. They had a young man who had just joined the fire service, and my daughter was out here watching as they were taking water out of the pond that we have here, and one of them was behaving in a very, you know, not very...
Yeah, he ate her.
I didn't want to.
Okay, no, I understand. It was one of these young firefighters?
Yeah, he saw April Jr., and he got... I mean, she's a very attractive girl, and he got all hot and bothered and hung it out the window or something.
Well, what did he hang out the window?
I mean, it wasn't anything bad. He hung his butt, you know, and he took his pants down and hung his butt out.
That's how he's going to impress a girl, huh?
Yeah, I looked at him like he's a freak on wheels and everything. Here they come again. Yeah, do it, man. See, the one thing I don't want them to do is take too much water out of there. Go. They're coming in low. I love how they come in low. They suck it out, and they go.
What exactly are they doing, Steve? They're taking water from your pond.
Yeah, they're taking water out of our pond. They're taking it up the Gorgo Canyon. They're going up toward Godzilla Ridge, and then they're bringing it on back down to Indian Mountain. And a couple of other places, just to make sure. They want to wet everything up there. I want to make sure Godzilla's wet. I want to make sure Indian Mountain's wet, too.
What's going on? What about Godzilla?
What?
But why is he... What do you got to put water on him?
It ain't a him. It's... what a retard.
Okay, let's watch the language, if you don't mind, Steve.
I apologize.
It's not a him. It's a waterfall of some kind, or some sort of a feature like that?
That's correct, Mr. Henry. And that Indian Mountain is a mountain... Okay.
Well, you called it Godzilla.
Yeah, I did call it Godzilla because that's what they call it. God.
Okay, let's get off that and let's talk about the ball game. So we did not have a game yesterday, although you were going to do the Houston-Kansas City game.
Yeah, we were going to do Houston-Kansas City, Phil, as it turned out. It's almost like I'm sort of glad we didn't. Yeah, there he goes again. They got that same kid because I saw two... All right, I'm going to have to get on the phone. Anyway, we're going to see the Kansas City-Houston game, but I'm sort of almost glad we got a technical problem because I think I would have liked to have done the Colt-Bronco game to see Peyton Manning come back out and, you know, stand in front of the crowd. And it's one of those moments in all sports when a man returns to the place where he had done the thing that he done did and the excitement about him. See, here it comes again. Now, see that? See the kid there, right there? I'm talking to my wife. There it is. There's two butt cheeks. I don't understand. God, I hate that. My wife's going in the house to call him.
What's going on?
Is that young man doing the same thing?
I said to my wife, I saw two butt cheeks. I don't know.
Well, whoever is doing that, you just put your daughter in the house. And the other thing is you're going to have to call a fire station.
Well, it's not a fire station. It's a place where the plane lands. I mean, it's way, way, way bigger and more important than some guy going down a pole. I got to tread lightly with these guys.
Well, wait a minute, man. I don't care if they're taking water from your pond, and every time they fly by, I mean, it's pretty silly.
Well, it's more than I got a daughter I got to think about.
All right, hold the line here. Steve Bozell is with us, along with our questions here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking about the game that got preempted because of technical problems this weekend. We're also discussing Colts and Broncos and Peyton Manning, and apparently there's a fire behind Steve's house. So a lot of excitement tonight. Oh, yeah, and a fire guy that's BAing his daughter. Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We're online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can watch the show as well as listen to it. You can get the daily podcast of our show. You can get our daily classic podcast. You can get the daily Bobby Dooley. The Bobby Dooley podcast is going to be free, right?
Yes, the Bobby Dooley will be. That's part of a free offering of the Phil Hendry Show website. Very rare and very welcome.
Yeah, usually you're telling people they gotta pay.
Oh, well, now, ain't that too bad? I gotta make a living. Boy, oh, boy.
Well, what about this radio show?
Radio show is fine. I like doing a radio show. It doesn't pay anything, man. Are you kidding? Radio doesn't pay anything anymore. How many times I gotta tell you guys? Excuse me for a minute while I straighten my beret, folks. I'm sorry. You know, but isn't it supposed to look good? You know what I mean?
Well, yes, the beret is supposed to look good, Phil, but it doesn't look good on you.
What is that about?
I found this beret. Maria found this beret. My ex-wife, she was, I don't know, probably cleaning out some garbage pit in the backyard and found, I don't know.
You think she threw your beret in a garbage pit? I think you should have more respect for her.
All right, fine. But in any event, she found this beret, and she said, "Do you want your beret?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, that's the one I bought in Paris." See, I was in Paris with her, and I thought, I got to look, you know.
Yeah, you got to look like one of the Paris people. You go over to Paris, man. You got to do all that, what do they call, you know, wee-wee.
Yeah, you got to do all of that, and
You're like all monsieur and everything. No, you got to go like, you got to go monsieur.
Okay, we got that figured out?
What do you mean wee monsieur? Are you two imbeciles telling me that's the only French? You have to be able to speak French. You must be able to speak French. I've been to Paris, and I am able to get by because I have passable French.
Margaret, are you telling me that pronouncing, we've been through this.
Yeah, we have been through it, so I don't want to go through it again. You don't go over there with a beret and go, wee, monsieur. My God, if the two of you went over, you know what would happen if the two of you went over there? Whatever it was that the French were able to bury that they hate about us would be resurrected. That's for sure.
I don't care what the French think about me. I don't care about it at all.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, I do, because the French are very cultured. They are very, very much a civilized people. The food is absolutely exquisite.
Oh, God, you got to be putting me on. I like the food. Hey, by the way, we have Mr. Bozell on the phone here, so I apologize, Mr. Bozell, but we got sidetracked.
No, that's okay, because I'm telling my wife what to do with my daughter. Put her in and make sure that she's covered up. I don't want her seeing that again. I've had a man flying by here with a rear end hanging out, and this is the second time. It may be L.A. fire. I don't think it is at this particular time, because I called up Dean Steele, who's a friend of mine over there, and Eric Spence. Both these guys here, look at this right here. There's the butt hanging out again. I don't think this is L.A. fire, Phil. I think this is a group of people that are just stealing water out of my pond.
Well, this area where the fire was, the Gorgo Canyon, was that it?
Gorgo Ravine and the Godzilla water feature. And then down over Indian Canyon or Indian Mountain. It's one of the two. I forget which one, but I've been over there.
You've been over to Indian Canyon?
Yes, sir.
Well, is it a canyon or a mountain?
I think it's a mountain, that's for sure.
Well, then isn't it called Indian Mountain?
No, I think it's called Indian Canyon, even though, look at this, there's his ass hanging out. So, yeah, honey, go ahead. I don't think it's L.A. fire. I think these are some clowns. Okay, I'm very upset about this, Phil.
All right, look, all you got to do is call up the police or whoever these guys are. Do you know these guys?
No, I don't know these guys. My daughter is sitting here watching them collect, you know, water. They're supposed to be going over to Gorgo Village. And
What is the name of the place? Is there a fire? Do you see a fire anywhere?
No, I do not.
Okay, so there's no smoke. You're safe.
Yes, sir. But I assume that was because of the firefighting abilities of L.A. County Fire, and they're the, one of the best that the world has ever known. Now, everyone around the world knows L.A. County Fire because of the fires that they have fought and successfully defeated to save homes. Gorgo Village, which was in flames here not a half hour ago, is now a very bustling... Yeah, you too, pal. You know what I'm going to do? I'll pull my pants down.
Get the police, get the get the fire guys to make sure these clowns, get them out of the air. You don't have to pull your pants down.
Well, I'll tell you now.
You know, you're wasting a lot of time. You're supposed to be talking about football.
Ma'am, I know that I'm supposed to be talking about football. Who am I speaking with, please?
This is Margaret Gray.
Oh, yeah, yes, ma'am. Look, Margaret, I know that I'm supposed to be talking about football, but when a guy flies ball, When a guy flies by, and he's got his bare rear end hanging through it, and my daughter is staring at that like it's the first time she's seen a fireworks display, I can see in her eyes the fascination, and right away I've got to think, well, what the hell's going on here? And I find out just some clowns, here they come again. Now, this is really L.A. County Fire because there's nobody BA-ing us. And I got my pants down. Oh, God, help me.
Wait, no, all right, Steve, what's going on now?
Hold on. Hold the phone, will you, honey? I got to zip.
What is going on now?
I pulled my pants down because I thought it was going to be these kids, and it turns out that was L.A. Fire. So I got big trouble now.
What an idiot, man.
Why don't you just hold your tongue on that, okay? Do you mind, Dickman?
No, you're an idiot. You should figure out who's doing it. You're not going to pull your pants down. What's that mean?
I BA'd them to show them I don't have no respect for them. Okay, they just BA'd me, and my pants got pulled up. I've got to time this right.
You don't have to time anything. You get the cops to get these guys grounded and get them away from your water supply.
Well, I haven't seen them. No, I've just seen L.A. County Fire. Now, I know L.A. County Fire...
Has L.A. County Fire been out there, or has these clowns that... Are they in a marked plane?
What do you mean, a marked plane?
Are there L.A. County Fire markings on the plane?
On the L.A. County Fire plane, there is.
Okay, what about the other one?
No, sir.
Well, then I guess we know who the bad guys are. Now, have you seen them?
No, they're not here. I just saw L.A. County Fire fly by again. So, Gorgo Village, which was in flames, as I told you, the Gorgo Ravine, but there is a Gorgo Village that services that area, was a village that was trapped in flames, and now it's a bustling little metropolis with all kinds of, ox carts going in, and they're not ox carts, but, traffic and everything.
What is this place? Where do you live, man?
I'm sorry?
Where do you live?
Phil, I told you, I live in Corona, California.
Yes, but what is this Gorgo Village? This sounds almost medieval.
No, ma'am, it's just one of the towns that's close to Corona.
Yeah, but you're talking about it's a bustling little metropolis with ox carts?
No, I meant to say trucks, but I've seen, there's the odd ox cart that goes in there, but they have vehicular traffic.
Yeah, but why do you gotta have an ox cart?
Hey, look, I'm not answering any questions of you, man. You're my colored commentator, okay?
That colored.
Hey, why don't you learn how to say that, man? It's color commentator.
What do you call him?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was colored commentator.
Man, they don't call it colored commentator, man. It's called color commentator.
I know that now that someone tells me.
You ought to know that. No one needs to tell you that, okay? Now, what the hell is going on over there, man? Was there a fire at Gorgo Village or what?
No, it's Gorgo Ravine.
Well, what was on fire?
I believe the village was threatened. And there was a stream of people leaving the village with only the possessions they had on an ox cart.
On an ox cart? What are you talking about, man? I've never heard of this place called Gorgo Village and the Godzilla water feature and all this other crap. Is it an amusement park?
Is what?
Is that Gorgo Village a part of Disneyland or something?
No, you idiot. There's real human beings back there threatened by the fire.
What? Oh, man, I got to tell you something, Steve. I'm going to get on the phone or something. I'm going to find out what you're talking about because you ain't making any sense, okay?
My daughter just got BA'd by a kid who has his own water plane. Some punk kid in the neighborhood has got his own water tanker, and he's flying by and BA'ing my daughter. Now, if that isn't enough to set a man free in the worst possible way, I don't know what is, man.
You know, you know something, man? I think that you are coming unglued. I think that you need to go in for a physical. I really do. No, I really do.
Steve, do you know that... Well, I better not say, but you do... I think you do need a physical as well, because...
Because what?
We're going to let you go, okay?
Yeah, you try to show up for the game next week.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna find you, Dickman. I'm going to make you my own special project next week, okay?
What, do you want to touch me and everything?
You, man, yeah, I want to touch you. I want to put a foot right...
All right, so, and shut up, bud.
You heard what he said.
Shut up, bud. You know what we were reading, right?
Yes.
Okay, I want to tell everybody, we were reading, Margaret and I, because I am reading, and this is the kind of, you know, dippy guy that I am, I'm reading the Lincoln Assassination Commission proceedings. I'm actually reading the transcript of the Lincoln Assassination Trial. That's just kind of, that's the dork that I am. I mean, I'm a history nerd. Now, there was a man who was mentioned in these trial proceedings by the name of John McCullough. John McCullough was an actor who was a friend of John Wilkes Booth. And John McCullough had no involvement in the assassination. He just happened to check into a hotel in Washington with John Wilkes Booth on a particular day in 1864, 1865. These two actors, they were both going to be playing at Ford's Theater. They checked into the National Hotel. Both of them Shakespearean trained actors. John McCullough apparently contracted syphilis early in life. And here we go again with this theme.
What does that mean? Phil, Frank is nowhere near as whack, as cracked as this McCullough bird, okay?
As this McCullough bird.
You go ahead and laugh.
All right, well, the fact is that this man had a condition, and I'll get into it. We're going to go into a commercial break, and I'll let you know what happened and the ins and the outs, and if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah.
If you'll pardon the expression. Of what happened to John McCullough later on in life and the condition that he had. I think Bozell may have it. Okay, so that's probably going to get him angry at me, but I'm sorry, Steve. That's just how I feel about it. It's 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we're online at philhenryshow.com, so join us, won't you? Okay, we'll be right back after these fine commercial announcements. After the broadcast tonight on Phil TV, Night of the Living Dead. Back with Steve Bozell and what we think is wrong with him in a moment. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and number 855-500-7445. And we're talking here, we were talking with Stephen Bozell. I guess, you know, we didn't get around to Peyton Manning and the Colts and this weekend of football that we were enjoying because Steve was too busy looking at some guy BAing his daughter again.
Get it together.
Now, what I wanted to do, you know what? Bloody hell.
Well, look up John McCullough. Boy, you're too busy, Phil, pulling it.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm not doing a commercial break, man. Shouldn't be fingering it.
Yeah, quit fingering it and get to work.
What do you think you guys are doing standing around talking to me if I was, quote, fingering it?
Well,
in any event, this dude had an untreated condition. It was an untreated condition of syphilis. I think that was his name. In any event, and I don't want the news, I want the web. He was an actor, John Edward McCullough. Now, the condition that he had...
You're talking about a man that got... He was an actor.
Yeah.
So I think what we're doing... It's a little bit of a slander on actors to say, well, here we go again, an actor with syphilis.
Are you kidding?
What does that mean?
An actor with syphilis, here we go again? I didn't say anything about that. You did. Okay?
Well, Phil, it's pretty much...
Well, no, it ain't pretty much. Here's what he had. John McCullough, a friend of John Wilkes Booth, was an actor, a Shakespearean actor, a very well-known actor in the United States in the mid-part of the 19th century. He was a man who also had played in Europe to some acclaim, and to be a successful actor at that time in the world, at least in the English-speaking world, you had to be able to succeed on stage in London. You had to go to London and really hit it out of the park there. And in the United States, certainly, the road to London went through New York. Once you had succeeded and became, you know, a star of stage, one who obviously, even in those days, people knew actors by face because they were their images were published in newspapers, they were on playbills, etc., then you would play the larger cities in the United States, like Washington, like Boston, or, you know, on your way up. This man, John McCullough, by this point in his life, was an actor who had this achievement. Now, he acquired or contracted or was infected with syphilis early in his life. By the time he was in his early 50s, it had turned into what is called general paresis, P-A-R-E-S-I-S.
He was in the Union Army?
Oh, you're a moron. You know that.
You kidding me or something, man?
In the Union Army.
What?
You're a real... Bud, you're a record-breaking jackass. We're talking about a physical condition.
General paresis ain't a Union general. It was something that people had. It was a disease.
Well, why would I know that?
Why don't you keep your mouth shut and listen to what I'm saying? Are you making jokes?
No, I'm not making a joke. You said... In the Civil War.
Just because I said the Civil War and I said the word general doesn't mean I'm talking about a guy in the Army. General paresis of the insane is a physical condition. Just listen, okay?
I think he did that on purpose. I think he thinks he's being funny. You're not funny.
I didn't do anything on purpose, but if you want to say that I did, then okay. I heard the Union Army and I heard the Civil War.
You didn't say nothing about Union Army, you moron. You're talking about general paresis.
You said Union Civil War.
Bud... Be quiet, or I'm gonna start to belch you. I'm going to do what that guy did that we talked to from Oklahoma. Pick up a bowl of freaking meatballs and throw them at you.
Where?
Never mind. I'll make them and bring them downstairs. General paresis, also known as general paralysis of the insane or paralytic dementia, oh my God, is a neuropsychiatric disorder affecting the brain caused by late-stage syphilis. Let that be a lesson to you.
The guy didn't get a shot?
No, he didn't get a shot. They didn't have shots back then. If you got syphilis back then, man, and you ignored it, you ignored the symptoms, this is what happened. So what happened to this guy McCullough, this friend of John Wilkes Booth, this actor, this guy who his name appears in the court proceedings during the trial of the conspirators who were tried in the assassination of President Lincoln, the attack on Secretary of State Seward, because... John Wilkes Booth had checked into the National Hotel with John McCullough, the two of them appearing at an earlier time at Ford's Theater. John McCullough at that time was in his 30s, like John Wilkes Booth. Now, both of these cats got around. John Wilkes Booth had all kinds of girlfriends, okay?
Again, this is a slander on actors, Phil.
Well, Margaret, if it's a slander, I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. They had girlfriends. John Wilkes Booth had all kinds of chicks, and he had them in every city. This guy McCullough probably wasn't any different. There's some things that never change, and one thing is that actors, you know, are popular with the general public, and if they're men or if they're women, they're going to attract members of the opposite sex. And if you're a rapscallion and a roustabout like a John Wilkes Booth, who imagined himself to be much greater a man than he was, who thought he was just all that and a cup of tea... You know, he was, oh, well, I'm not only am I an actor, but I'm going to change the future of America by, you know, and this guy McCullough was probably no different. These guys, into every town they went.
Every town they went into, they defouled women, is what you're saying. They took advantage of women.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's what they did, take advantage of them.
You don't know about that. Women probably want to go to bed with them anyway.
I'm not saying that they didn't want to. I saw John Wilkes Booth's picture. He looks like he looks like he was born with a birth defect to the face. I don't think there's anything attractive about him at all.
In any event, so these guys had girlfriends, and guess what happened? You got it.
How come John Wilkes Booth didn't have neuropsychiatric?
You mean general paresis of the insane? I don't know. Got lucky? Maybe he did, for all I know. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe he did. I don't know, the autopsy on John Wilkes Booth, there was one conducted, but I don't know what they found, you know.
I'll tell you what they found. They found a bullet in his neck.
Yeah, man, you follow it.
Get out of here. Found a bullet in his neck. In any event, general paresis is based on chronic meningocephalitis, that leads to cerebral atrophy. Degenerative changes are associated primarily with the frontal and temporal lobar cortex. Like syphilis itself, general paralysis is also treated with penicillin. Now, this is the thing about this disease. In the 19th century, it killed you, it drove you mad. And what happened to John McCullough? He was on stage in Detroit. No, excuse me, he was on stage in Chicago, and he collapsed. He collapsed on stage. He began raving, all kinds of lunatic things. They eventually put him into they didn't have psychiatric hospitals then. They called them lunatic asylums. And the poor man died from this disease. Today, it's treated with penicillin. Even if it reaches this stage.
Where you're a raving lunatic.
Even if you're a raving lunatic, it reaches that stage, it can still be treated with penicillin. So I would say to you, Bud, and you, Robert, would you please make sure that you get your shots? All right.
That's not fair to say that.
Well, I'm just saying it. Make sure you get your rabies shots, Bud. All right, baby. Coming up next hour, General Galen Shaw is going to join us. General Galen Shaw to talk with us about the rollout of the health care law, the rollout, really, of the health care exchanges. How are people doing? The news has not been good. People are complaining. They're saying that, they're on hold for a long time and this and that and something else. President Obama addressed a lot of these problems, and we will, too, with General Galen Shaw next, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.